and good morning. More valuable than a diamond is our history. And music like a diamond, or music like poetry, has a message. And history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. And words, yeah, they do have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. I'm asking each and every one of you to pull back your musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So I want to thank everyone for joining us again to hear another episode, right, and become a part of a different perspective for our community. I'd like to welcome you once again for another edition of Quest as we dive into the history and definitions presented by student hosts Justin Hill and Brielle Claire. And before I go any further, I'd like to say be careful, those of you online, because your background noises are being picked up because everyone's microphone is on. And after saying that, I want to say good morning, and I want to bring Brielle on. Brielle, please hit us with an introduction and take it away with your first segment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bay. And like I said, I'm here with my introduction for today. Good morning, everyone. Take a seat, lay back, have a drink or snack while you listen to interesting history on how Black people conquer their dreams or overcome fears. Now, as we introduce student host Justin Hill, me, student host Brielle Claire, and Mr. Bay, our mentor. Now, we will soon start our segments for today's show. Now, first up, I have Phyllis Wheatley. Phyllis Wheatley was born in 1753 in West Africa. She was sold to be a slave by a local chief to a visiting trader who took her to Boston. When she arrived in Boston, she was bought by the wealthy Boston merchant, and her owner was the merchant's wife. The Wheatley's 18-year-old daughter was Phyllis's first tutor for reading and writing. At the age of 12, Phyllis learned to read in the original language for both Greek and Latin classics, as well as difficult passages in the Bible. When she was 14, she wrote her very first poem to the University of Cambridge, Harvard, in New England. The Wheatley family supported Phyllis's education. In 1773, in her 20s, she suffered chronic asthma. All of her poems appeared in London during the summer. After Phyllis's book was published, the Wheatleys manumitted her. Both the daughter and father from the Wheatley family passed away. Shortly after she was free, she married John Peters. They were under poor conditions and lost their two babies. John was imprisoned for debt in 1784. With a sick infant, she decided to become a maid with work she had never done before. That same year, she unfortunately died, and shortly after her death, her infant also passed away. Again, you are listening to Brielle on WSOU 89.5 FM, and that is it for my segment on Phyllis Wheatley.
Okay, great job. I like to unpack some of that. And knowing that you probably don't know, and I don't know either, but here's what I do know. It seems like I heard you mention her brother was incarcerated in jail.
Yes.
Brielle? Okay, so you know, those types of laws are referred to as draconian laws. Imagine not being able to pay a debt that you owe. And as a result of you not being able to pay that debt, you now are incarcerated. All right. And so I want to go back to something that we've been bouncing around starting last weekend. And that is the difference between human rights and civil rights. And so the civilian law at that time predicated that anyone who was unable to pay debt would serve the time in jail. And so today, in some states, that is still prevalent. It still is going on, right? In some cases in this country. And I refer to it as a draconian law because that is a law out of the dark ages, right? I just wanted to highlight that. That was her brother. And I think that's just so unfortunate, but I just want to, you know, take a stick a pin in that time period and just mention what black people had to go through during that particular time period. And probably not just black people. I want to bring in Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, what background information or what comment would you like to make as it pertains to Phyllis Wheatley?
Oh, yeah. First, good morning, everyone. And
good morning.
Yeah, Phyllis Wheatley, she was more of a abolitionist along with her being able to write poetry and things like that. And she was the first woman, not just African-American woman, the first woman to have her writings published in America. You know, a lot of people overlooked that part, you know, but she was really, really instrumental because we're talking late 1700s, early 1800s when she was around. There was a lot of abolitionist stuff, especially from where she lived in Massachusetts. Now, had she been down south, I'm sure it would have been a whole different scenario. But, you know, I've actually read some of her poems. Her poems, to me, they sound really simplistic. But the fact that most people in that time frame couldn't even read. They were illiterate. So anything that would have been kind of heavy for them to read, they probably wouldn't have done it. But, you know, so I really look up to her. And if you haven't, you need to read some of her stuff just to see where she was coming from a couple hundred years ago.
Okay. You know, thank you for that insight. Her being an abolitionist, I didn't realize. And bringing that out and highlighting that important fact. Thank you again, and good morning again, Mr. Harris. Right. And right now, we're going to continue on musically. And when we return, we're going to have Brielle introduce the real deal, Justin Hill, for his first segment. But don't you go anywhere. Keep it locked. This is Quest Youth Radio, which is, everybody, the best youth radio.
The best youth radio.
All right. everybody. Let's have some fun. At the sound of my voice, I want you to say, real deal, bring on the real deal. Come on, Mr. Harris, let me hear you say it.
Real deal, bring up the real deal.
Yeah, Brielle, let me hear you say it.
Bring up the real deal.
Yeah, and now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to hand it back over to Brielle. Introduce the real deal, ladies and gentlemen, Justin Hill. Take it away, Brielle. Introduce him.
Welcome back, and I am here to introduce Justin Hill for his first segment for today.
Thank you, Bill, and it's now time for my first segment of Diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you're bound to find yourself. My diamond segment is on Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was an American professional boxer and activist. He is regarded as one of the most significant sports figures of the 20th century and is often regarded as the greatest heavyweight boxer of all time. He won a gold medal in the light heavyweight division at the 1960 Summer Olympics and turned professional ringer that year. He became Muslim after 1961. In 1966, Ali refused to be drafted into the military owing to his religious beliefs and ethical opposition to the Vietnam War and was found guilty of draft evasion and stripped of his boxing titles. He stayed out of prison while appealing the decision the Supreme Court over his conviction was overturned in 1971. Outside boxing, Ali attained success as a spoken word artist. He also featured as an actor and writer, releasing two autobiographies. Ali retired from boxing in 1981 and refused and focused on religion and activism. And that is it for my segment of Diamonds on Muhammad Ali.
All right. Now, I have to ask you, what motivated you to choose Muhammad Ali for your Diamond segment for today?
Well, the reason I chose Muhammad Ali is because he, like I said in my segment, he is one of the greatest boxers of all time, and he also was an activist, so that's why I chose him.
Right. You know, Mr. Harris, I have to come to you. You know, us two being the oldest in the room, you know, and I'm sure you've noticed, a lot of times, you know, our younger counterparts, you know, they are not familiar with so many people throughout our history. But for Justin to be familiar, and Justin, don't let me speak for you, you are familiar with Muhammad Ali. You've heard about him before, right?
Yes.
Right. And so many times, Mr. Harris, our history and the people who have made it and bared its burden, as we say, right, those stories are obscure, meaning a lot of times we haven't heard from them, and our young people don't know. So I know, as usual, I'm going out there, right? Mr. Harris, I want you to speak to the fact that the obscurity of African-American black history in America, right, and the fact that our young people are just not aware, you know, and, I applaud, accolades go out to Justin Hill for making Muhammad Ali, who is already relevant in everybody's life every day, right? We just can't seem to forget about him, right? But talk to the obscurity of our history And maybe even the fact that, why is it that, you know, Muhammad Ali is still relevant?
Well, actually, there's like you said, there are a lot of people that have done multiple things positive within our community. And Muhammad Ali comes up because for some reason, you know, we always look towards fighters and like warriors. We look at them as having a higher esteem than people who just want to talk peace. He actually put his livelihood on the line. Those 5 years he was out of boxing was his prime years. You know, even though he was the man before and turned out to be the man after, his prime fighting years was those 5 years he was suspended. And he was more about his people than he was about the sport. And, you know, a lot of people haven't done that. You know, there's a lot of people that have written a lot of treatises about what we need to do, how we need to do it. Sometimes you have to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And Muhammad Ali was one of those who definitely talked the talk and walked the walk. And, you know, and it's good that those type of people are being remembered. And it's wonderful that we need to see the younger generation grasping on and noticing that there are good things that happened in the past and use those as examples of things they could do in the future.
All right. Thank you so much. And if I may, I want to add a little bit to that because just from listening to you, Mr. Harris, it brings the fact that he made a sacrifice in his career. You know, Justin, just so I want you to get this, right? Pull out your notebook, your pad, and take notes. He was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. He sacrificed his career as a boxer for his beliefs. He did not believe that, you know, black people should be, you know, going to a war for a country that didn't respect them. And because he stood for his own beliefs, this country made him pay a price. 5 years of his prime time as a boxer is a lot. And Justin, just so you understand, and I just make this simple for everyone in the audience, there are not many of us today who are willing to make any kind of sacrifices for the conglomerate, the people, for what they believe in fact, you know. And that's the part, you know, that sticks out about Muhammad Ali. That's what makes him relevant today, the fact that there are not that many people who are willing to make a sacrifice for what they believe in, right, and you know, risk the burden of not being able to take care of their family and struggling financially and just hurting their own career. Just imagine if Muhammad Ali, you know, would have been drafted like Joe Louis and so many other people and, quote, unquote, doing your part to serve in the United States military, right? He frowned upon that, but had he enrolled and went into the service, we probably would not be talking about him today. He would just be another boxer in the annals of history. All right? And that being said, thank you very much, Justin Hill. And we're going to continue musically. So now we've reached the 30-minute mark of our show. And, you know, Brielle, I'm still trying to have some fun over here. Brielle, hit us with your next segment.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And like you said, I'm here with my next segment for today on definition. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for you. Industrious. Diligent and hardworking. Examples, she put in hard work to take care of her sick baby at the time. And the etymology of this word is, in the late 15th century, in the sense skillful, clever, and ingenious, from French, industrieux, or late Latin, industria. From Latin, industria, diligence. And again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my segment on definition.
All right, Brielle. I want you to hang in there for a moment. Tell us what was significant about the word you define as it relates to Phyllis Wheatley, and what motivated you to choose her for your diamonds for today?
Well, what motivated me to choose her for my diamonds today is because I was doing a little bit of research on her, and I saw that it said, she used to be a slave. She was born regular, but then they bought her. And basically, she learned how to read and write poems at the time. And I think that was very interesting. So that's why I chose her.
Okay. So now I have to ask you, in your research, did you see there's two things that Mr. Harris brought to surface? I want you to pull out your pad and pen and take note, right, for future conversation so that you know and make the connections to this information, right? And that is, did you know that she was an abolitionist?
No.
That wasn't mentioned, right?
Nope.
All right. So I want you to make sure you add that into your arsenal of ammunition when you, give us that information next week. Also, did you know, again, giving credit accolades to Mr. Harris, that she was the first female author in America? Not just the first black, but the first female, period. Was that mentioned?
No, it was not.
Right. Well, what do you think about that?
Well, what I think about that is how it was very interesting, and that's a very fun fact, because at the time there was a lot of people, it was legal for the black people to be sold to Caucasian people, and so the knowledge of poems and her writing and her reading stepped up a level, and very interesting for her, not the only black woman, but a female too. For her.
Okay, so you were it was kind of breaking up there, right? So I'm not going to have you repeat all of that again, right? But we're going to continue musically. Brielle, I just want to say great job. Thank you. And we're going to continue musically with a song which pretty much says what it means.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Mr. Harris, I'm coming straight to you, man. The culture creators and those are the music creators, right? We just got finished listening to Otis Redding, and then we had a female artist talking about respecting yourself. Who are those two artists, and what background information can you give us off the top of your head? And so I just want to say that to the audience that Mr. Harris hasn't had a chance to prepare, right? I just threw this on you, right? Who was the first, who was that female artist, Respect Yourself?
Yeah, well, actually, it was a group, a family group, the Staples Singers. And the lead singer was Mavis Staples, you know, but they were around during the civil rights marches, and whenever they had their little rallies, they would always have some kind of musical act there. And the Staples Singers was prevalent in a lot of those, you know, so that's who the first one was. The second one, like you said, was Otis Redding, you know, even though that song really got more popularized by Aretha Franklin, the Respect song, you know, and I'm not going to lie. That's how I learned how to spell respect, is by the R-S-A-P-C-T. You know, but, you know, it's not funny, but, you know, we all have our own ways of doing stuff. You know, but they were both instrumental in the civil rights, like we were talking about last week. Not necessarily human rights, but they were all instrumental in the civil rights movement. You know, so that's who they were.
All right. And there it is. It just came back to the surface. Civil rights once again. Right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to hand it back over to our student host, the real deal, Justin Hill, for his, I believe, your definition. Take it away, Justin.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And this segment provides the listener with words and their meanings that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have defined for us. And my definition for Muhammad Ali is on the word resilient. Able to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions. Etymology, from Latin resilient, meaning leaping back, from the verb resilient. And that is it, my segment of definitions, and I thank you guys for listening.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot again. That word resilient, as it relates to Muhammad, how does it relate to Muhammad Ali?
It relates to Muhammad Ali because he went through difficult conditions, but he kept recovering and did what he wanted to do.
Okay. And if you don't mind, I'd like to help you and say, you know, those conditions, he made the ultimate sacrifice. He sacrificed his career for his beliefs. Okay? And I want you to put that in your arsenal, right, in your weaponry for your verbal attack that you're going to have to deliver for next week. So just remember, you know, it is resilient to be able to stand up for your own personal beliefs and make a sacrifice and then be resilient enough to rise to the occasion to continue when you win. Or whether or not you win or lose, but to be resilient enough to keep on going in life. I don't know, well, you know, I don't know too many people that would be willing to make a sacrifice, let alone be resilient enough to recover take hold and control their own destiny and career to still become successful. Because during that time, when Muhammad Ali made that sacrifice, he had to climb back up the ranks in boxing in order to become the person that we know today as the greatest of all time, right, as a boxer, a professional boxer. Okay, so now we're going to take a trip to Tokyo, get a passport if you haven't.
I know, but I got to get up out of here, you know? I got to go pay these bills. I got a show to do, you know? One time for your mom. Let's go to see Paris. Wake up in Tokyo. Have a dream in New Orleans. Born in love in Chicago. Man, I love her. And I hate to leave her lonely. Ring, ring, went the iPhone. It was my homie. He said, let's hit Japan. If we can make them jam, we can make 100 grand. Spend it in the south of France, nothing further. I jump, grab my go-yard trunk. Got ready to walk it out like Unk in my jumping and chucks. That's when I heard murder. You're killing me and filling me with sorrow. Sunrise, goodbyes, and missing you tomorrow. I turn to see my dream love, supreme queen. Ain't a thing gonna sing, cry. I drop my bags in the flash. That's faster than 180 on that dash, sir. To dry your tears and wipe the rain from my dear like Dasher. Use the dame who's the username to all my passwords. The reason I get fly is Ivan Jasper. I even keep your picture in my passport. Love, love. Real, all in together, free chill. Tell a steward it's the dope movie on the real. Heat up my kosher meal, exchange my dollar bills. Lean back in my first class seat and sleep. Don't wake me till I land where they barely understand what I speak, but they nod to my beat. I tell my fans who I am and they stand and they clap, they applaud. They love me, my God. Oscar Samadeshda, or maybe au revoir. A spree on St. Henri, then back to Charles de Gaulle. So I can get home and tell her everywhere that I've been and everything that I've done and tell her that she's the one and
Let's go to sleep, Paris. Wake up.
Guess who's back in the house with a bunch of souvenirs and a smile for your mouth. I really missed you each and every night. I kissed you in my dreams before I went to sleep to La La Land to count them sheep. I swear you're looking prettier than ever. It's got to be a prophecy for us to stay together evermore. For better or less the poor, all worth a wait and buried treasure. X is on the shore. I know my world tours like war to ya, but Ian said aloha and Hardy said cheers. Julian said bonjour, Big O was like yeah. Amanda and Lamesti wanted to win, we going there. Edison sends his love, so does the rest of the club of the international playboys and playgirls. But I revoke my membership, all for my tenderness. She said pursue your interests, cause even if I'm ticketless, I'll be there, by your side, in your heart, on your mind. So as I taxi down another runway, I got you. Who loves you, babe? Now bring it back now.
Let's go to sleep, Paris. Wake up in Tokyo. Have a dream in New Orleans. Born in love in Chicago, May. Then we can land in the motherland. Camelback from death stand. Take a train to Rome, for home, Brazil, for real. Wherever I ain't go, she go. Wherever I ain't go, she go. Wherever I ain't go, she go. Wherever I ain't go, she go.
Yeah, you know, still, you know, in that theme of, you know, keeping it lively and having a good time as we're doing this, I just want to encourage the youngest people and the old people, including myself, If you don't have a passport, when you get old enough, get one. If you're old enough and you don't have one, get one. And what you want to do is you want to experience the world. You know, when I listen to that song, right, it's a love song. It's about an artist traveling around the world. But more importantly, it goes deeper than that. And he mentioned, you know, the violence and the things that are negative and low vibrating in our lives that we see in our own communities where we live. And he reminds me, that song reminds me that the world is bigger than the neighborhood that you growing up in, okay? And so get off your duff and get out into the world and experience it, okay? And see the world. Right, because the world has a lot to offer, and it is your oyster. And that being said, I would like to bring on Brielle, right, again, once again, right? Brielle, I'm only doing that because we don't have a radio name for you, but we're going to figure that out, right? So, Brie, if you don't mind me calling you that, I'd like for you to go into your next segment and segue straight into your definition. Okay?
Okay, got it. Now, like Mr. Bay said, I will be doing my diamonds and definitions for today. Alice Coachman. Alice Coachman was born on November 9, 1923 in Georgia. Miss Coachman was unable to have access to any equipment in sports because of her skin color. Her status was a female athlete during a time of widespread opposition to women in sports. So she used what she had, running shoeless and on dirt near her home and using homemade equipment for her to practice her jumps. Coachman attended Monroe Street Elementary School, where in year five, her teacher Cora Bailey encouraged her and so did her aunt. Years later, in Madison High School, she decided to participate in track working with Harry E. Lash to develop her skill as an athlete. After being rewarded a scholarship, she joined Tuskegee Preparatory School. The scholarship required her to work while studying and training. While being in Tuskegee Preparatory School, she competed in the AAU Women's National Championship and broke the college and national high jump records while running barefoot. She dominated the AAU Outdoor High Jump Championships and won 10 in a row. Her opportunity to compete in global stage was during 1948 Olympic Games in London and won. To the United States, she was a celebrity soon after meeting President Harry Truman and First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. She was even honored a parade and was thrown a party by Count Bessie. In 1952, she became the first African-American woman to endorse on an international product when she was signed a spokesperson by the Coca-Cola Company, who featured her on many billboards. In 1996, she was honored as one of the 100 greatest Olympians. In 2004, she was inducted in the United States Olympic Hall of Fame. Although years later, she passed away due to respiratory problems, July 14th, 2014. Again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my diamond for today. And I will now be moving on to my definition. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Activism, the policy or action of using rigorous campaigning to bring about political, or social change. And for an example, she brought a change when she was the first African-American woman to win many national titles and was even sponsored by Coca-Cola, along with having a parade and meeting the president and the first lady. And the etymology of this word is, it comes from the German word Aktivismus, and it's basically a combination of active and suffixism, which indicates a practice. And again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my two segments for today.
Okay. Brielle, I want you to do two things for me. The first thing, I want you to tell me what motivated you to choose her, right? And gosh, Alex Coachman, I couldn't even think. I could barely walk through the house barefooted. Are you kidding? Right? She competed in one. And secondly, and more importantly, I want you to introduce, after you tell us what was significant, what motivated you to choose Ms. Coachman today, introduce Justin. And Justin, when you're introduced, I want you to go ahead and knock out your next diamonds and definition segment. So tell us, what motivated you to choose Alice Coachman? And thank you. Great job.
Thank you too, Mr. Bay. And like he said, I will be basically telling everyone what motivated me to choose her. So as for Phyllis Wheatley, I also did a little research about Coachman, and I found out that she won many titles, and she had to use the equipment around her, which wasn't a lot, and even barefoot to run around, like around the town and stuff, and won to the people who actually had equipment. And she was able to be sponsored on the Coca-Cola company and even met the president and had a parade. And I think all of those were very interesting. And about her being African-American around that period of time, it was something that was very inspiring. And that's why I chose her. And now I will be introducing Justin for his next segment for today.
Thank you, Bio. And it is now time for my segment on diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and are bound to find yourself. Adam Clayton Powell Jr. was an American Baptist pastor and politician who represented the Harlem neighborhood of New York City in the United States House of Representatives from 1955 until 1945 until 1971. He was the first African-American to be elected to Congress from New York, as well as the first from any state in the Northeast. Powell became a powerful national politician of the Democratic Party and served as a national spokesman on civil rights and social issues. In 1961, after 16 years in the House, Powell became chairman of the Education and Labor Committee, the most powerful position held by an African American in Congress. As chairman, he supported the passage of important social and civil rights legislation under Presidents John F. Kennedy and Lyndon B. Johnson. Now I'm going to go into my definition segment. Civil liberty. The state of being subject only to laws established for the good of the community, especially with regard to freedom of action and speech. And that is it for my segment of Adam Clayton Powell Jr. and civil liberty. And again, you are listening to Justin Hill.
Okay. Justin, just tell us why you chose him, and then I want you to go right into our outro, because that's a wrap. Why did you choose Adam Clayton Powell Jr.?
Well, the reason why I chose Adam Clayton Powell Jr. was because he was an American Baptist pastor, and he was a politician of the Democratic Party. And now I'm going to go into my outro. I want to thank everyone for joining. I want to thank everyone for joining us and listening to your student host, Justin Hill, and Brielle Clear. And I want to thank everyone for joining us on another episode of WSOU. Plus Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
The best youth radio. All right.
Yep.
Mr. Harris, I want to give you 3 seconds. What you think about today's show, man?
Today's show was great, and I need to put a correction on what I said about Phyllis Wheatley. She was actually the third female in America to have her works published, but she was the first African.
Okay. We'll take it.
I just need to
clear that. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, and remember to tune in on Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio, on 89.5 WSOU every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Peace.